This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Europe's air travelers socked in again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Some of Europe's busiest airports are a mess today, as Iceland's volcano is making with the ash cloud again. London's Heathrow and Gatwick airports have reopened, but Dublin and Amsterdam are shut down. Meanwhile, British Airways passengers face extra trouble because the latest phase of a strike is due to begin tomorrow. From London, here's Marketplace's European Bureau Chief, Stephen Beard.
BA goes to court today to try to stop the latest strikes. The carrier claims the stoppages are illegal. Flight attendants at Heathrow Airport are planning a series of five-day walkouts starting tomorrow. Their union has rejected the airline's latest offer on pay and working conditions. The union says its members will wind up working harder for less money. But BA lost around $600 million last year. The airline says it has to cut its costs. Laurie Price is an aviation specialist with consultant Mott MacDonald. He says BA has a point.
It's got to get its costs in order. One of its largest costs after fuel are employees, and therefore ensuring they get maximum efficiency, maximum productivity is unfortunately in this globalized world exactly what they've got to do.
He says BA's cabin crew working from Heathrow earn 50% more than the average for the UK airline industry. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Also in Europe, Greece's prime minister says he hasn't ruled out legal action against U.S. investment banks for their role in the Greek debt crisis. Greece blames international banks for fanning the flames by talking about Greece's likely default. This morning, the euro has hit a four-month low against the dollar, but stocks there are holding up. Stocks are up across that continent. Not so in Asia today, where markets fell hard, down 2% in Japan and Hong Kong. And down went Wall Street on Friday. The Dow lost 162 points. More than 200,000 small nonprofits in the States could lose their tax-exempt status if they don't file a form with the IRS by the end of today. The IRS is changing the rules for these organizations to keep better track of them, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Small nonprofits that have less than $25,000 in revenues never needed to file tax forms, but Congress changed that in 2006, and nonprofits that haven't filed by today will lose their tax-exempt status. That's news to many groups.
No one had heard of this.
Brent Wolf is executive director of a youth choir in Great Falls, Montana. He didn't have a clue about the deadline. When he found out, he panicked.
I was urgently trying to communicate with people to figure out what I had to do because I knew it needed to be done.
Turns out all Wolf had to do was fill out a form on the internet. But nonprofits like Little League teams and PTAs still haven't gotten the message. Tom Pollack is a senior research associate with the Urban Institute.
It's clearly going to cause some pain for little nonprofit organizations that didn't have current addresses on file with the IRS and never got the word that they were required to file.
Organizations that lose their tax-exempt status can reapply for it, but that's time-consuming and expensive. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Across America, cities and states are wrestling with their budgets, trying to decide whether to raise taxes, cut services, or both. In Arizona, voters will decide tomorrow whether to add a penny to the sales tax to pay for education, public safety, and health programs. Reporter Mark Brody at KJZZ in Phoenix says the state's business community is split.
Arizona's children share one need, a great education.
At the very end of that commercial supporting the tax increase, you see the names of the groups that have contributed to the campaign. First on the list, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Glenn Hammer is the group's president and CEO.
Our opinion is that the sales tax is the least painful way to raise a sizable piece of revenue.
Hammer says if the state makes too many more cuts to its budget, it could be difficult to attract new businesses to Arizona. State officials estimate the tax increase would bring in about $1 billion a year over the next 3 years. Two-thirds of the money would go to education. But Farrell Quinlan says raising taxes won't help his members. He's state director of the National Federation of Independent Business.
Our businesses and our folks are small enough to fail. And we hear the rhetoric on the other side where failure is not an option. Well, it's been an option for 300,000 Arizonans. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes.
Even many supporters of the tax increase, like Todd Sanders, wish it hadn't come to this. He's president and CEO of the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce.
No one likes a sales tax increase or any kind of tax increase. We've already cut $2 billion out of the budget. We need to have a level set state government.
The difference of opinion within the business community is not lost on those involved. The Arizona Chamber's Glenn Hammer says the groups tend to agree on issues 90 to 95% of the time, and that their disagreement on the tax proposal, known as Proposition 100, is a sign of how big this issue is. Farrell Quinlan says when he polled the small business owners he represents, 71% opposed the increase.
The business community has, a nuanced position, and the support that they're showing is always conditioned on not making the problem worse. I think Prop 100 makes the problem worse.
State lawmakers have already approved $800 million worth of spending cuts that would go into effect if voters say no to the tax increase. In Phoenix, I'm Mark Brody for Marketplace.
And finally, NBC reportedly would keep its hit show The Office going even without the boss, Michael Scott. Actor Steve Carell has said he doesn't expect to renew his contract with the network. Well, Deadline.com quotes an NBC executive as saying the show will somehow go on even without this man.
I saved a life. My own. Am I a hero? I really can't say, but yes.
Good luck with that, NBC. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.